Could you restate that? Sorry. I just started the recording.
Yes, the meeting has been called to order, motion by Commissioner Schumer and seconded by Commissioner Schickerfeld. Okie dokie.
The two Germans.
Roll call, please, starting with Tim.
Tim Schmaltz is here.
Nicole Baumgarten is here.
Ken Schickman is here.
Suzanne Schumer is here.
I am present. I'm John Thiemann, the council liaison.
And Mary Kennedy, staff liaison.
Anybody have anything for opening round?
What is the opening round intended to be?
I think it's if you have anything to like share. There's a couple times when like I hear about the school district doing something, and I want to make sure that we're all aware of that, or something. You know, if somebody's in U-City, or you know, they would want to talk about something like that. I suppose if I heard what you said about me in private, then we could get to fisticuffs. But I mean, but I don't. Hopefully, I didn't hear anything that you said.
All good.
Oh, good. Good.
Did anyone have a chance to review the February minutes and would like to motion to approve? Now, I did notice on them there was, it said it was a virtual meeting, which I believe Mary has corrected, right?
Yes. They will be corrected.
Yeah. Will be corrected.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I'll vote to approve.
I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, the February minutes have been approved. We don't have any special presentations today, and there are no citizens here besides us. So the new business we all have in front of us, the agenda for the April 28th study session with City Council. Let's all take a moment to review that, I guess.
So I just put some ideas on paper. That's what the second sheet you all have in front of you is. So
second sheet.
You have.
Oh.
So go over there.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Does everyone have one of these? Okay, I'm sorry.
So we had originally talked about a March 24th study session with council. It'll now be April 28th. It sounds like enough of you were able to attend, so we'll have a quorum there, which is great. The city manager asked me to discuss with you all what you want to have on that agenda. It should be about an hour, 5:30 to 6:30. There are four items on this list. Those are things that we've discussed recently that, except for the annual report, and I'll go into more detail on that. Things that have been discussed with the commission that we wanted to bring to the council's attention. So I don't know if we have time for all four of these things. We may if we're really, you know, organized and we keep things to 15 minutes each. Or if we want to just focus on one or two of these topics, we could do that and then have a follow-up study session with them in the future. I think the most immediate issue is the additional proposals for the decarbonization plan. So I shared the motion that was made at the last meeting, recommending to council that two more competitive bids are provided for the decarbonization plan. The city manager asked that the commission write a summary of what its issues with the Trivers IMEG proposal is, so that he can pass that along to the city council to discuss. So that might not even need to be a discussion item for the study session. That could happen now. Like you all could put together that summary. It could probably be a paragraph or two. I don't know. Yeah. Just quickly stating what the concerns were and why we want to consider, you all want to consider other options.
Yeah, I feel like Matt would be best to write that. Because, you know, he, I think, feels this strongest about the Trivers, and he definitely sort of spearheaded, I feel like, that conversation more than anybody else here.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to volunteer people in their absence.
That's the best time to do it. That's why you have to come to meetings.
That's
so
true.
So you don't get volunteered.
That's true.
Tim, perhaps you could reach out to him and just ask him if he is able to make that proposal,
mm-hmm.
or summary.
I'll do that.
And then maybe if he could bring it with him to the April 10th Green Practices meeting, assuming that he'll be there.
Or he could submit it if he, in advance.
That's true.
If he can't.
Or he could email it to us, but that way at least he's in the loop.
Mm-hmm. I'll do that.
Aren't we basically just trying to say that any bid of this size would automatically have multiple bids?
But I feel like Matt would want
he wants to
add in a little bit in terms of, like, it's more than just a bid of this size, the responsible thing to do or the legal thing to do and to get this many responses. I think he would want the city to have some of his thoughts,
mm-hmm.
about it.
Like specific complaints,
mm-hmm.
Issues or questions, concerns about that specific,
mm-hmm.
one.
I think you would want to approach it as not so much concentrating on the vendor, but focusing on the scope. Here is, you know, we looked at your proposal and we would like you to revise it in the following manner, you know, because I think I get the impression Gregory's pretty much behind Trivers, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, frankly, I think it's, you know, because they're doing the work, so much work for us already, I think.
I was going to ask the question, and I personally don't know the history of this. But it is clear from the last meeting that we were not happy.
Mm-hmm.
He expressed it most vocally, but I don't think he was alone in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to ruffle feathers on the city council, given the history, if we're not careful about how we buy? I mean, I don't think we want to go to them if there's a history and people who have approved them in the past. I would think that we wouldn't want to go to them and say, God, these people are terrible. Well, how could you possibly have brought them on historically?
They're not terrible,
but they're not as good as
they should be.
But yeah. I just think we need to be careful about, we don't want to offend anybody on what is really could be presented as an issue of, you know, we want to get other bids.
I think the way to approach it would be, and that wouldn't ruffle any feathers anywhere, so to speak, would be to say effectively that something to the effect that, what you proposed is just fine, which from my understanding is really nothing at all. And what we would like you to include now are the following things, and very specific, we want you to do this, this, this.
We would want anyone making a bid to do this, 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 because we still want to put in there that it would be best to have multiple bids, I think.
I don't think, like, I don't want to be disrespectful towards anybody, you know, and I think saying your proposal is terrible would be disrespectful, but also, why do we care if we ruffle feathers? Because we are citizens of University City, and if we feel so strongly, okay, like, what's the issue with?
I'm suggesting a compromise.
I'm an advocate in the general context of ruffling feathers when it's needed. But here, our goal isn't really to make a point about this particular bid. It's to get a resolution passed and have a mechanism for implementing it. And it just seems to me that if we ruffle feathers, it makes it, on this, what I think is not the primary goal that we have to say to somebody is that Cold Rivers isn't here.
Court?
We can say that they're big.
I don't think so.
I think you got the wrong day.
Let me see.
But if we're going to ruffle feathers on that, there needs to be a purpose. And here, my take is that the impact...
I'm trying to look up the schedule.
Potential impact would be... To make somebody on the city council less amenable to support.
Yeah, from my point of view, you know, you're talking to a guy who wants to chain himself to a federal building and protest, so, you know, ruffling feathers is not. But then I find myself in this odd position of being, you know, elected to be the unruffler, you know, that to get the thing through. And I think the approach to get it through is a kind of seeming compromise that binds them to do what you want to do. I mean, they're throwing it in your court. You know, tell them what you want to do, to have done. Trivers, that is. I think they're going to be wedded to Trivers, and I don't think it's going to be much use fighting it. Now, I could be wrong about that.
I feel, first off, I trust Matt to write something that's not going to be offensive to anybody, but also, if our biggest demands here are get two more bids, then even if they're like, well, we love Trivers or whatever, if we've got three bids and two of them are superior in terms of what you're paying and what you're getting for that money, then it doesn't matter whether people are wedded to A, B, or C or not, because then it's just a business decision. So I think Matt can write something that's not these dumb SOBs, blah, blah, blah. I think it would be like, we need two more bids that encompass the task at hand.
My guess is, based on last month, he would probably appropriately, I think, want to say something like, you know, my reading is that we could probably do this produce an equally good product for a lot less money.
Yeah, I mean, I
get the bids to find out.
My impression of number one and what Mary said about it, we don't even have to like say that. I don't think we have to say Trivers is no good. We're just like, a project of this scope requires multiple bids from multiple organizations. Like, I don't even think we need to say company A is XYZ, good or bad. I think we just
dictate to them what you want done too, specifically to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Make it absolutely specific.
I think we can get a bullet on. I think that Matt can handle it. Especially if it goes through us.
My feeling is there isn't any emotional attachment to Trivers except from the administration itself. I don't think the council probably just went along with the administration's analysis. And so Gregory Rose may have a strong feeling that this is the one he picked and would like to stick with it. But I can't see the council having personal relationships with
him. I'd never even heard of him until I heard of him.
Yeah. So I don't think any of the other council members, I don't think we have to worry about ruffling their feathers. It may only be Gregory's that we ruffle.
It's a big feather, though.
It's a big feather.
Well, and what Gregory Rose said when we met with him 6 months ago or whatever, at the last session, is he just thought it would be easier because they're already involved.
Yeah.
And I think that if we get two other bids that are cheaper and better and meet our demands, then it doesn't matter if they're more familiar. They're going to provide a product that we don't want. Yeah. So,
and I think Gregory just took the path of least resistance. It was
that's
the easiest
true.
For him to do.
Yeah.
He may not have any strong feelings either. So we're going to go ahead and ask. You're going to ask Matt.
I'll send an email to him or something at some point. So.
And we should probably review that at the next meeting. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to send the email and copy you?
That's fine. I mean, Nicole put me on the spot just to contact him. But
I can also call.
Yeah, we can. Let's just all send messages in.
Well,
this is what you get for not being at
the
meeting.
The reason I called you out specifically is one. If we email everybody, it's a quorum, and that's big bad.
Right.
And two, I saw you first. So Suzanne can also email that. You know what I mean?
But you know what you're talking about.
I'll send a message to him.
Okay.
Yeah, you get around that, by the way, by mailing two people the thing today and two other people tomorrow, and two after that. So you're not you're not a quorum. You know, because you have a sunshine law problem.
Email two together and then email.
Yeah, if you email everybody and they're voting on something, so to speak, then you have a sunshine law problem.
I don't know what a sunshine law is.
As if it's going to be.
It's, yeah, like you're going to run here. Like,
but, you know,
request,
yeah.
Request, like the transcript of this meeting, if somebody wanted. Like, sunshine laws bring everything out into the light. You can't have secrets and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And it encompasses actually having a quorum at any one place. I don't know how many times you've noticed this, but sometimes we're at a social event and the council will not gather with four of us together. Somebody will go across the room.
I don't typically.
You don't follow our every move. But it's taken seriously at times. And we're talking about bids, that could actually end up with a problem.
Yeah.
You know, actually, because we're talking about bids and doing business outside ourselves.
The state of Missouri has very strong sunshine laws and very weak enforcement.
Okay, moving on to number two for the suggested agenda is a solar panel cost benefit analysis. Last time we met, Ken, you mentioned that you might be a good person who could put together a presentation of what that would be. The benefits of solar, is that still something?
Yeah, I don't have a good grasp on some of the cost-benefit issues. I can certainly develop some of that. But I've got a bunch of slides for talks I've given about why solar, and in particular, why rooftop solar is so important. Because it doesn't use land, basically.
I just emailed everybody a rough draft of a PowerPoint I put together with existing ordinances and in the region, but also in the country, in terms of how this idea is manifested other places of being solar ready. St. Louis City passed something in 2020. I just emailed it, I don't know, 15 minutes ago. But I try to just sort of summarize some of the things and. There is an International Energy Conservation Code has something that is effectively what St. Louis City did of making construction solar ready. And we may want to think about focusing on that. It's, for me, I remember when we talked virtually about this when it first bubbled up in December or November, we were like, well, should it be 500 square feet or 10 square feet or whatever square feet? And this code, which is in this PowerPoint that I sent everybody, has very specific legalese guidelines of if the renovation or the construction is 60% of the value of the land. You know, one of those here's the mathematical equation as to how we're supposed to figure that out. All I'm saying is perhaps this might be something that we can just say, we want UCity to adopt the IECC Amendment CA Solar Ready Code for Commercial. Something like that.
Yeah.
We're not in a position, I don't think, for me to sort of project this. It's not very exciting. It's words on a white screen. But if you guys want to take a look at it, it should be in your inboxes.
That makes a lot of sense to do it that way. May I ask if there are restrictions in the city? I know there may be some subdivisions on where residential solar panels can go. Hmm.
In the code, there's actually not a ton, but there's a list of six or eight exemptions. If the residential building or the commercial building is shaded 70% of the day, then you're not required to do it. And there's stuff that's, exceptions for this. Well, and that's because it's part of the code, I thought that would make this whole process a lot easier.
I'm just wondering on residential, if the city allows residential solar panels on a street-facing roof.
Not in our neighborhood, they don't.
In our neighborhood, it's not allowed, I don't think. But that's a subdivision.
I don't think the city has
it. Does the city have any restrictions?
I don't think
so. Are you in a private subdivision?
Yes.
Yeah,
that might be,
Heights, yeah.
That
yeah,
might be
know,
a requirement
the Heights,
of a subdivision.
I mean, I think this is an important thing for us to know, because if the city indeed does have that kind of ordinance somewhere, to me that is utterly
They don't. My mom has front-facing solar panels, and two doors down, they just got them installed also. And her house is a south-facing house, but yeah, it faces the street.
You know, I think it's important that the resolution we passed, what we're recommending, in no way requires anybody to do anything. If somebody is building a 5,000 square foot whatever, and it's covered with trees, you know, they're gonna do a cost-benefit analysis. It's gonna say, don't do this here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we're not requiring anything.
With the exception of the exceptions, this code says you have to put conduit and you have to basically make it solar ready. Any new construction and new whatever. So it is more than what we were proposing of just doing a cost-benefit analysis. But for me, the fact that we can hold this up, what I haven't had time to do is the sort of what's the impact in these communities of forcing new construction to have solar-ready roofs, in terms of they even say you have to design buildings that have south-facing angled roofs and stuff like that, and new construction. Obviously, they're not going to make somebody rotate their existing roof around. But I think this is a 2018 thing. I don't know if it's a more recent one. But using this as a guide and saying these other communities, like St. Louis City, and there's other places around the country, El Paso, they've adopted this, and they require, you know, you to basically have a roof that you could buy solar panels on, and all you got to do is plug them in, and it'll start. Or some equivalent of electronics.
I would love your idea of having a code and not having to do all of these details ourselves, which we don't know, but having a code that's already passed a lot of levels of scrutiny.
So take a look. I mean, I wrote...
What's the cost of that, of being solar ready?
That's some of the economics. The only stuff that came up in the research that I did was, here's the potential savings. And there were things, and I wrote it in the thing, but they say that if you build a new building that's solar ready, then if that building ever decides to put up panels, and this is just like a single story basic building, it could be the difference between like $3,000 up front and $20,000 to retrofit it later. And that's the maximum range there. So it could be somewhere in the middle there. But the couple places, the resources I looked at, only put dollar signs next to savings between putting it up front and retrofitting later.
If we're going to recommend this, I think we have to know what cost is.
Yeah, I haven't had time to do the economics.
And if I'm building a house,
yeah,
I don't want to put solar here now. How much is it going to cost me to be solar ready? I mean, they're going to ask that question.
I mean,
so the original motion was about requiring a cost benefit analysis, not necessarily
on commercial only, not on residential.
On commercial,
right.
Only,
yeah. No,
not
I mean,
on residential.
It added, residential, I believe.
Multifamily.
Yeah, multifamily.
Multifamily.
So
commercial
over
5,000. Over 5,000 square feet.
Over 5,000. That was the deal.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, what I'm hearing is that in our presentation, the very first thing is that we need to tell them what our requirement is, what the benefits of solar are, walk through an example of what a cost-benefit analysis actually is, what potential concerns people might have, and what benefits it could provide. Next, lay out the secondary option, which is just to briefly describe the IECC in St. Louis City, and then next to list out the benefits of our requirement or of adopting the IECC's code, which are here under 2B one, two, and three. That's what I'm hearing as far as presentation requirements.
I think, okay, one thing I want to comment on is the city has adopted the IECC, City of University City has adopted IECC 2018. So that's like a code that's required for new, I don't know if it applies to residential, I assume it does. Maybe you know more about IECC.
I only looked at the commercial entry for the appendix.
And then the other thing is like,
could you elaborate on what that requires?
Because is that
I'm not very familiar with
the same thing that you have? So you think we already have in place?
We do.
You were talking about an amendment, right?
It's an amendment. I don't know if you adopt the 2018 IECC, do you also adopt all the amendments? I don't know how that works. But yeah, that would be something if
we already had it in place.
If it's in place and we're just not doing it.
We don't want to go lobbying them on something that already exists.
Well, the thing that you could do is say, well, here's IECC. Now, to remind you, you've already agreed to X, Y, and Z. And here's how we do it with solar panels. That might be a way of pitching it.
My basic suggestion may be, instead of assuming that we haven't already agreed to this stuff, would be to almost use the language in here for how to identify what buildings need to be, instead of like 5,000 square foot or this, because we spent a long time going back and forth. If we can just say, hey, it's good enough for the IECC to say new construction or remodel that's worth X percent of the appraised value needs to do this. The fact that we can say they're doing it there, we may not adopt all of their stuff, but let's use theirs to designate which buildings need to do it. That's why I mentioned it. We can copy and paste and plagiarize, which is really what I want to do.
Yeah, you absolutely can when it's city to city, public agencies.
Yeah.
But do we know that that is in the IECC, or is that an addition that the city of St. Louis adopted? Because usually when you adopt a standard code like IECC, you can make additions to it, you can make amendments to it, you can remove things. I just don't know if that was part of the IECC. If it is, then that's probably something we have on the books too, but I don't know for sure.
I'll track the history of Amendment CA. That's the one it is.
CA?
I don't know if that's like only California. The thing I read where I came across this did not say only places in California, but it does seem weird that it would be Amendment CA and not like something that wasn't an abbreviation for the state that would be interested in this type of stuff.
I think we need to acknowledge here at least that what we're talking about is much, much more than what we originally had discussed. That doesn't mean that it's bad, but we had originally talked about essentially nothing more than requiring that somebody who wants to build something do a cost-benefit analysis. Mm-hmm. That is very different from saying that somebody who wants to build must enable their construction.
That's why I want to look at the economics behind it. Because there are some sizable cities that have required this. Some in places, I mean, some of them I don't know what they are, but like I've heard of El Paso before, and it's a requirement there, where every new construction and renovation has to be solar ready. If it turns out that it's not that big of a deal, I'd like to actually present saying, on average, this adds $3,000 to the total bill.
Yeah, that's critical. Let me ask a nasty city council person question. So you're telling me you want to force people to be solar ready when their house is surrounded by trees?
No, two reasons. One, we're talking about commercial buildings only, and two, one of the exceptions is if the the roof is 70% shaded. So I didn't, in here, I didn't write all of the exceptions, but there are like eight of them.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no, no, when I'm doing this, there's devils all over my shoulder yelling at me about stuff. So I'm trying to anticipate that. And if again, a city council person says, wait, you want to make it more expensive to build a new city, and I'm trying to come back with, yes, but we're talking about $3,000 more up front to save $25,000 down the line. Like, that's the answer I haven't been able to find yet. So that's
the right answer to give.
Well, then that's, you know, everyone talks dollars, and I just haven't had time to find the dollars yet.
Okay.
Go ahead. Please.
I was just gonna say, for the sake of this meeting, I think that we should appoint 2 to 3 people to prepare this presentation and present it at the next Green Practices meeting in April.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we actually start putting this all down, it's going to come together and make a lot more sense than as we're just talking about it. That way we don't have a quorum, but we can really dive deep into these details, narrow it down into a time-sensitive presentation. You can't be up there for 30 minutes. And then show it to our commission as, you know, what do we think about this? What final edits do we need? Let's put a stamp on it and get ready for the study session.
And you should also be prepared to send it the Friday before the meeting, whatever it is that your slides are going to be, to have a written packet to include in the stuff that gets sent to the council so they can look at it.
Sure.
Ahead of time.
Sure.
So it's not going to be a big surprise. Those you would get to Lareed.
It would be done by the 10th, theoretically.
Yeah. I would suggest that the presentation should be no more than 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with the 10-minute limit max.
Yeah.
So you'll be on the presentation building committee? Or no?
I guess.
You don't have to be.
Take a look at what I've already
said. I'd be happy to talk about just why solar.
We have to tell them that. That has to
be
in the presentation.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be.
So that's why I'm saying we can pull your expertise
talk about it.
You know, this is
good. The cost effectiveness information, I would have to do some.
I think take a look at what this is and then perhaps email me directly with thoughts, because then we don't have to worry about it as a group.
One, two, I can be three.
Okay,
just to work on this presentation, split the workload, that's all.
I think we still have to connect it to the specific motion that was made.
Yes.
And I understand what you're saying, like if we did adopt this appendix that says like solar readiness is required for commercial, then that's a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're already required to consider solar to some degree because you're building it for future solar. So maybe we need to investigate that a little bit more. Like, is the version of the IECC that we adopted, does it include that?
Yeah. Where would we find that?
So I'm looking at the code online, our code, and it is pretty vague. It just says that we adopted the 2018 IECC. And then there's a few provisions here about like some little amendments, but none of them are about that appendix. So to me, it says we have adopted that. But I don't know if the appendix is treated as like a separate thing,
you know,
or if it's like part of the big code.
My intention wasn't to change what the original motion was. I put this together as here's the cliff notes on like what's currently happening in this sphere of requiring commercial buildings to do something about solar, be it cost benefit analysis to full array. You know, I just want the council, who I assume is ignorant about this stuff, to have a starting point. And I just thought when you've got something that maybe is already partially accepted, when you can even use their verbiage.
So essentially, let me think about this out loud. So the presentation is going to be that the bill says that they have to do a cost-benefit analysis on solar panels or give us a good reason why not. If they go do a cost-benefit analysis, this is what it's going to look like. They're going to do these things. Or not.
I wasn't.
Because the scope of the thing is that we're asking them to do a cost-benefit analysis.
Right.
Or give us a good reason why not. That's the way the bill reads now. Now, if you want to change it, I mean, it's not like it's a fixed in stone. It's a talking point right now, you know. But if you want to change it, you know, because all we're asking is they're doing a cost-benefit analysis and have an awareness of what solar panels, and the hope is you have an awareness of what solar panels will do for you. It'll save you money, et cetera, et cetera.
Maybe
you know, it'll be good for the environment and so on. But this is what a cost-benefit analysis will look like.
Yeah, I was hoping to have something like that in this as well.
It'll save you money, and it'll be good for the world, and so on and so on. I'm not being facetious when I say that. I actually mean it.
But, you know, if we're going to recommend something beyond what we have already passed here, we're going to have to vote on it here.
That's not why I mentioned this, was to change what our thing was.
Yeah.
Perhaps if, let's assume that this passes and everybody holds hands and we all dance and party, then maybe like down the line we'd be like, well, this worked, let's step it up to something else. Like I feel no need to change anything that we've already voted on or motioned on or whatever.
Once you get them saying yes, the next yes becomes easier.
That's sort of what I'm thinking,
you know?
Here. It's just, here's the benefits of what we proposed about the X, Y, and Z. See, like that worked. Or see how easy that was and see how nobody's mad at you. Like, well then let's
do this. Maybe maybe the presentation starts with, here's a motion that we made. And then it's, here's why we made that motion, because here's why solar is so impactful. And then you go back to the motion and you say, we're recommending this. Here are the details of, like, we need to figure out the cost, you know, or like, here's an idea of the cost. And then you say, if you're interested in doing more things about solar, here are some ideas that we've gathered from other communities. I don't know. Like, basically you're saying, why is solar important? Here's a first step. And then here are some future next steps.
I like that.
And never forget the wisdom of the movie Philadelphia. Explain it to me like I'm in fourth grade. Because you have a lot of really highly educated people on the commission, on the council, but nobody's an environmentalist. They're lawyers and teachers. And, you know.
But I really like what you suggest.
So it opens the door for me.
Here's what
we like you to do.
That's
good.
But, you know, in the background, here's for the future some ideas.
Yeah.
I think that's a very nice strategy.
Is there any competition with Clayton? Because I saw in your notes here that Clayton has adopted something.
They got some sort of silver award for Soul Smart designation. I don't know what that is. I didn't have time to look into what that was, but it seems that that's pretty soft what they did in terms of they reviewed local zoning, they quote cut red tape, and they trained some of their city staff on how to do permitting and inspecting for solar panels. They didn't, I'll look into the Soul Smart requirements, but it doesn't seem like Clayton has the IECC gotta be solar ready. I don't think that's what the silver Soul Smart is. Because the description of it didn't say anything about solar readiness or requiring electrical.
I don't know if it's a feeling of people, of competition. We don't want Clayton to get ahead of us.
No, we're going to get a gold Soul Smart, whatever that is.
platinum.
Get a platinum. At least silver plus. We got to be better than Clayton.
Yep.
I'm also going to send an email to our building inspectors and ask them, are you aware of this solar ready thing? Is that part of our current code?
Okay.
And if so, are we enforcing it? I'll try to gather some info about like the current state.
Yeah.
That's. I'm wondering if they feel that they can enforce it properly, if they need more training to promote solar. I don't know.
So far for the study session, we have our commission's concerns with the existing greenhouse gas proposal. We have the presentation that Ken, Tim, and Nicole are gonna work on. And then annual report, you said we'll touch on that in a second. But this number four here, reviewing development proposals, this is about really 4C, I think 4A and B, the scale and the square footage and the recommendations and blah, blah, blah. I think all that is gonna kind of get looped in with the above conversation. But that part about how the council is actually talking to us about, I mean, these plans, am I reading that correctly? Like how the council gets us involved.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna be kind of important in our study session as well.
Yeah.
That like, is a, like the third priority, in my opinion.
Yeah, so the first two are the top priority. Is that what you're saying?
One and two top priorities for next priority is my opinion. But what do y'all think? Because I don't know what three is.
I don't think you want your presentation to get too busy.
Well, this isn't a presentation.
Yeah, but if it's in the study session, we probably want to stay focused on something. I don't know if I have enough thoughts or opinions on that whole point four.
My view is that I was just about to say that I don't think we should focus on point four unless they raise it.
I mean the whole number four, not just C4. I mean the whole thing. Because I'm not opposed to it. I'm just saying like that seems like a lot if we were going to have to review plans and stuff.
That's not gonna win anybody over. Of course, you have to work out the logistics of it, but
I could have misunderstood. I thought it was about the council getting our commission involved in decisions. I could have misread.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm thinking about. It's just,
but you don't.
I don't
think
know.
That's
I don't
like
know if
I'm gonna
be involved in that many decisions.
Like, you don't think it's appropriate to bring it up right now?
I think you know we could figure out something where. If there's a major, like if there's another Costco going in or something, then like someone needs to come in and tell us how they're going to meet some points in terms of like how are you being energy efficient, how are you doing this or that. But like I don't have any sort of expertise to review plans. And if someone asked my opinion on what do you think of this floor plan, and be like, it looks like a box. You know, like I don't.
My suggestion would be that we say to them, there are logistical issues here that are really important as to how this is implemented. But that's another discussion.
Allow me to throw this out. There is a point on the council agenda where various people from the various commissions report to the council on the whole. That the senior commission is thinking about this. Arts and Letters is thinking about that. What if I brought to...
I don't think it's here, because there is no court set up in this building for tonight.
Where are they put it?
It might be at City Hall. Unfortunately, I don't know. I'm very sorry.
I just know her. I don't know nowhere else.
When they summoned me to court, it was to City Hall.
That's the big tower building over by the Loop?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I could actually bring a letter, like from you guys, and saying, by the way, please include us in future decisions. Now, I have this from the commission. Just a thought, you know, which would do this, but also, which would get this done, but also put it in a, and I wouldn't do it the same night. I think you should keep it to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one thought, so to speak.
So we can X off number four from that agenda.
That's
the vibe.
Somehow my feeling. I mean, your idea may be a good one. I don't think we should drop this issue.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, not at all.
I think we just kick it down the road a little
but,
bit.
But this is, they're bound to have lots of questions. If we still have 20 minutes to go, mm-hmm. and everything has ended, we can raise something about this. But I don't think we should prepare slides or focus on it at all.
Are we all fine with that?
Yeah, they are at this point when you get this thing. They're starting to include you. You know, you've rung a bell. You had your own two study sessions now so far this year, you know. So you're starting to ring bells. You also maybe want to consider, have we rung enough bells that they're starting to get a heads up? Frankly, I doubt it, but, you know, it's nonetheless a good idea to think about it.
So this annual report here.
Yeah.
So first, what is it? And then should we even be talking about it at our study session?
So I don't think it's necessary to talk about it at this same study session, but I was reminded that in the section of our city code that establishes the Green Practices Commission, it says that, and that it's listed here, the Green Practices Commission shall report to the council at such times and as often as the council may request or the commission may deem necessary, but shall make at least one report annually. So I had been told, the Green Practices Commission is supposed to make an annual report to city council. But when I read that text, that doesn't say the same thing to me. That says you should report to council at least once a year. But is it supposed to be a summary of everything you did in the previous year, or is it just report on a specific topic? It wouldn't be a bad thing to prepare an annual report, and it could be a summary of the events that we hosted, the special presentations that came to the meetings, awareness or education efforts that could be with like the information on the website and what's being shared in ROARS. And then goals for the next year. And I can start a draft.
Yeah.
And then you all could review it at the next meeting or future meeting.
At least we'll recognize that we exist and that we are active.
Hey, you know, we could actually interpret that ourselves as saying, you should listen to us at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we can make that interpretation, mm-hmm. given the language.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and it also says the commission shall report to the council at such times, as often as they deem necessary.
you can report
to the council as often as you want.
Yeah.
So, do the other commissions have that same power? Because I feel like
I don't know.
I should be marching into every city council meeting and demanding to talk about trees or something. Sounds like I should just take the floor whenever I want. There are
active and passive commissions.
Yeah, I don't know what the other commissions.
No, I think doing an annual summary, whether that's what is intended by that word, those words or not, it'd be nice just for people to know, that this commission exists, and B, here's some things we're doing. I mean, I mentioned before the meeting about people wanting, what is the city doing about community gardens? And I said, why don't you come here and ask? And they didn't. But it'd be nice to have something that can be linked to like the New City Facebook group where they can be like, here's our annual report. It's one page. Take a look at it. This is what we did.
It's a good way to, build awareness of what you guys are doing and have it in an accessible format.
What if we aimed to have our annual report prepared by the end of the second quarter of every year, meaning end of June, because that would give you at least a month or two to get a draft together,
mm-hmm.
and for us to make suggestions and edits.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be a semi-reasonable time frame because it's outside of our recycling events that we do.
Yeah.
So we're not like bombarding us with too much work.
That's a good idea. And it lines up with the fiscal year, too, because fiscal year is July 1. So
You know, one of the other things you could do is there's citizen comments in the, just as you have here on the council. You could come up and say, here's our annual report. And literally garner their attention right there, you know.
Like show up to council and request the floor. I mean, and say, here's our report now.
Yeah, this is our annual report from the commission.
What does a citizen get, like 15 minutes or
3 minutes? 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's a short thing, you know. There are other ways of doing it. I mean, of getting it on the agenda.
Wouldn't we want to distinguish ourselves in some way from
from the guy who's complaining about the streets?
Yeah, I think we should be on the agenda.
I mean,
I think there would be ways of having. There would be ways of doing that.
Yeah, we should be on the agenda.
I would think more than just the guy on the street.
Yeah, I think. Because I think you can interpret this really. I mean, think about the State of the Union. The Constitution says he shall from time to time inform the Congress. You know, I mean, you could send today's Christian Science Monitor to Congress. But no, they make a big deal out of it. We could do the same thing.
Maybe as our staff liaison, maybe you could see what kind of floor time we could get.
Well, as an agenda item, we'd have almost unlimited floor time, wouldn't we?
Within reason.
Within reason. I mean, we still won't do it under 10 minutes, but...
Yeah, you know, I wish I had an agenda right in front of you. Do you have a council agenda right in front of you? I mean, because there are places... Oh, let's talk about this later. I want to take up a lot of time because it's getting there.
I wanted to get back to the logistics of making sure this report is prepared.
The annual report?
No. The
immediate thing, yeah.
You know, I learned long ago in an academic world that things are better if you present it to your friends and colleagues, and you get them to tear it apart when there's still time to fix it. And I wonder if waiting, at least those, we don't have to have another official meeting, but I kind of think that it would be a benefit if we could get together somewhere informally, over a beer.
Can't do it.
I'm not a beer drinker. But
can't do it. Because that's...
Ken, that's what the presentation is for.
Because we'll have a meeting next month before this presentation.
So, yeah, no, I know, so I know it is. It's 2 weeks before. I think, you know, at least maybe those of us who are going to be presenting to get together.
We're going to put it together, get it where we think it's good, then we're going to present it on 4/10, and then they're all going to tear it apart for us, and then by 4/28 we made edits and ready.
Okay, well that may be enough time. It should be okay.
I have more time lately than like past, so like I'm kind of volunteering myself to like do some heavy lifting on that, but I also don't want to push and put you in a... You know, I can be a little headstrong, so I don't want to like push you into too much.
You can be headstrong.
Yeah, sure can.
Good for you.
Good.
As long as you can control it, it's good. It's a good trait to have.
We'll see. Okay, so we got our suggested agenda pretty much nailed down. Mary's going to be working on this awesome report that we're going to be shooting for summer. The next thing on our agenda item is going to be the sustainability officer job description.
So I don't know if this is really something we have to spend a lot of time discussing, but I have a few examples if you want to pass. So there's,
From Webster Groves, good.
So I have two copies of each. So there's a job description from Webster, one from Carbondale, Illinois, and one from Wilmette, Illinois. It might not make sense to have people read through them and talk about it right now, but Councilmember Thiemann shared at the last meeting that was something the city was interested in doing soon, hiring a sustainability officer.
Perhaps part-time, perhaps full-time.
I can't imagine there being money for...
Well, shall I? I raised this with Gregory the last time. I also talked to the woman down in Webster Grove, Sean Finnegan, who is their sustainability officer. You know, and there is interest in it, perhaps part-time, perhaps full-time, in U City. Probably more toward part-time, I would think, would be my guess. The question is going to be funding. Mm-hmm. You know, since the IRA is dried up, meaning the Infrastructure Reduction Act, am I got there? Well, as you know from the federal government these days, funding, I won't even go there, you know. But the question it will be how to pay for it. It's not that the idea itself is, you know.
The idea is great.
The idea is a great idea.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, and I would love to have it because everything we put in place here, I'd love to have somebody whose full-time job is to keep it in place mm-hmm. as opposed to forget about it, you know, mm-hmm. or let it go down the road because, you know, all of us are going to, you know, shall we say, come and go out of this, but it'd be nice to have a permanent civil servant who preserves all the gains we make. But there's where it is right now, you know.
It's the and, deep city, right?
Yeah, and you talked to Finnegan?
I did. I
Good.
Actually, so she shared with me the three job descriptions that I'm passing around. One of them was her job description. She
yes.
started
mm-hmm.
part-time, and then she eventually became full-time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that job description is for a part-time position from Webster.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
And then she also shared those other two with me.
Cool.
Yep.
Sure.
So, yeah. No, go ahead.
I was asking a question, so. Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly like how soon this could happen, but am I remembering correctly that did Gregory suggest the Green Practices Commission help form a job description?
Form a job
for
description,
that
right?
Position. Okay.
Yeah.
Although,
we,
oh yeah, it you know, Gregory, you know, is really right minded when it comes to these things. I mean, it's not like he's opposed to these things, but he's the guy that. You know, has to find the money, has to find, you know, and so on and so on, you know, so, and he is, you know, forever, he's the minesweeper who knows where all the mines are, you know, he tries to get them out of the way, but it's not always successful, if you will, bad metaphor, but anyway, you know, so, but the question will be for this, and frankly, other things right now, I mean, they're just in a state of limbo in the city because of he whose name will not be mentioned. For example, putting in, various, you know, what am I trying to say? Those things that an electric car hooks up to.
Just chargers.
Chargers, thank you, in the loop. You know, he had the idea of putting in a bunch of electric chargers in the loop, but, you know, why should we bother with that? Because, as you all know, climate change doesn't exist, does it?
No.
And here we go. You know, but that's actually his baby, you know, is the electric chargers.
Do you know there are chargers in the area just north of the loop put in by the, what do you call it, the Eastgate, Westgate, that area?
Yeah, yeah, that.
Yeah. And they have it in, and it can be used for free for people who live in that area. But I'm assuming there's some kind of pay station. And I don't think people know about it. But it's probably too far for people to walk to the loop as they're charging to.
Yeah, he was going to put them in, the ones he had in mind, actually I'm not precise. I should not speak for his ideas any further. But it's all, the problem is it's all, you know, where are we going to get the money? Because the original plan was to depend upon the IRA to get it, the infrastructure reduction.
Is there any money left over from that? Is there still money to be used?
So, as of right now, there is no money for the sustainability officer job position.
As of right now, there is goodwill. That's all.
Okay.
I would not underestimate, yeah, I mean, I would take these, if it was me, I'd take these things, make up, you know, a part-time and a full-time. you know, and to keep the discussion going. That way, you know, I could bring something to him the next time and the next time and the next time and the next time. And because one of the things that I discovered is that persistence is what gets it done, and patience and politeness.
I see good ideas here.
Oh, it's great, yeah. And then when you see what they've done, Webster Groves has been very fortunate in two regards. They've hired the sustainability officer, and they also have a legislator, that is to say, a city councilwoman, Jamie Hassemeyer, who is very conscientious about these matters. She's a longtime advocate of environmental matters. So they've, you know, really kind of lucked out in a certain way. But the other side, I was down at Webster Groves for a meeting not that long ago, and the mayor, the city manager, and all that are very amenable to these kinds of things. And I would give you to consider, we're not that different from them when it comes to this. But again, where's the money?
Do any other commissioners have the bandwidth right now to work on that part-time and full-time job description? I'm saying I don't, because I'll be working on the presentation.
And I don't know if it's necessarily like an assignment that you all as commissioners would have to do. Maybe what we would start with first is like, maybe read through those. If you have feedback or if there are things that are missing that you would want to see in that type of position, or things that seem unnecessary, maybe share that feedback with me or at the next meeting.
Yeah, and maybe we could actually just take some of these and say, well, Gregory, you wanted job descriptions. Here's what has been successful around
us. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can pretty much copy other cities' job descriptions.
Cut and paste.
You know, change things here and there if we want. But
it might help, too, if it comes across his desk with a, you know, Webster Groves logo on it. Mm-hmm. You know, here, this has been successfully done. I also know that... Sean Finnegan would be more than happy to interface.
Yeah.
You know, as she did with you.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd be happy to talk to Gregory.
She's great.
So is that something we all want to do just individually as we have time? Are you able to email out those job descriptions to
us
for
us?
I'll
email them to you all now.
So you
that
have
would be
other
great.
Others
you.
Besides mm-hmm. this one? Or were there two that were
I've
hired?
Got over here the Willamette and Carbondale.
I think I didn't pick that one up. I thought it was only one.
And I know there's been other places. San Diego, I think, has done this, if I'm not mistaken. I'm someplace in California, of course.
We do have to hustle a touch.
Yeah, I have to go in a couple of minutes, because as you know, I
have to
can
go.
You please give your council liaison update right now?
I would be happy to. A couple things, actually several of which you guys have already covered about the sustainability officer, and so on. Some of you may know that, I've been participating in a thing that now calls itself the Cool Cities STL. And this is a group of about 20 or 30 elected officials from around the city, and I'm on the steering committee around the region. And we've been doing, meetings. So there are two things I'll say. We've been doing meetings at different city councils, and we may want to take advantage of this at some point in the future, and choose a topic that they would like to, that you would like presented to the city council at a study session or something like this. What we're going to do, what they did at Webster Groves the other day was kind of environmentalism 101. What they're going to do on the third is a pop-up meeting, as they're being called, at City Council, City Hall in Clayton. Now, it's worth mentioning that, you know, what they bring to bear is, you know, a bunch of elected officials, several mayors, county council people, you know, so it's not a, you know, I mean, it comes with weight. A couple of mayors from around town, so it comes with weight. Indeed, they would then present. The next one is going to be on the economics of environmentalism, something like that. I forget the exact topic.
Tell me again the name of the group.
It's Cool Cities STL.
Cool Cities STL.
Yep, the poet at work.
Not
exactly. I encourage them to take that title.
Would you be able to email a link to that out to us? Is that something you ever do? You email us sometimes, don't you?
I do. You mean when the meeting is?
Just anything about them, just because some people aren't here, so that way
right.
The commission is aware of these.
I also, if anybody is interested, I know Mary is busy, but I get to bring to these meetings a plus one. I get a date. If anybody's interested in coming with me, because it would help me, frankly.
I always wanted to be your date.
Your wife might be his date.
Yeah.
Your wife might be jealous.
It would help me if people come along because, you know, it gets one more brain remembering what was said, you know, because I hate to say it, but I get so many things going on that it helps me. So keep it in mind.
When's the next one?
It would be 4 to 5:30 at the Clayton City Hall, so you don't have far to go.
What date?
April the 3rd. I think that's is that a Tuesday? I remember.
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. I remember them saying to them, they don't want it on Monday for obvious reasons. So the other thing that we did, and just sent it in today, is a letter to the commission. I knew I should have written it down. The Public Service Commission, that's what I'm trying to say. In which we took exception to the requested 15% increase on in rates.
Yes.
Particularly, we took exception to on several levels, there is no, for lack of a better term, environmental justice here, because none of this is going to go toward gas and coal reduction of any sort. I personally felt that we should object because people with fixed income are suddenly getting slapped with a 15% increase. Mm-hmm. Other people had objections to it by virtue of the way it was being done, that it was just being done very suddenly. There have in the past been as many as 17,000 people getting disconnected because of rate increases that are sudden and impactful. Ooh. So we all took a letter, signed a letter that is coming out today that takes exception to this. See you, Suzanne. So we also had in other news, in general news, we voted in favor of doing away with those annoying little stickers on your recycling. So it's free now. You'll get an increase in the beginning of your taxes on this, but you won't have to get those stickers anymore. So you're welcome. We also got a new council member. I don't remember. We didn't have a meeting last time, so I don't know what I've said that we didn't say. We got a new council member, Lisa Brenner, who was a former president of the school board. Was a longtime member of the school board and was president for a while. She was an easy choice on one hand, a difficult choice in the sense that there were 5 people who applied who were just great, you know, and so it was a difficult choice.
Who left?
Jeff Hales got elected to the State House.
Oh, right.
And so his seat became open.
Yeah, he was dressed as a lion at trivia night. I should have added that for the opening round. So I was there when you're a council person, or when your rep is dressed up in a full lion costume. Needs to go in the minutes.
We also had the State of the City address, which you can get online. Go to, in case you haven't seen the virtual meetings. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very long. It was just less than an hour, if this is of interest to you. I think there was a number of things that got said. I particularly enjoyed the State of the City because it reviewed the last year. And this is my first year on council, and frankly, you know, the old saying about, you know, you forget the forest for the trees. You know, I'm so involved in this week's tree that I forget what we've done over the last year. But it's been actually, in some ways, been frankly extraordinary, the things that we've done in the last year. The new Deerbergs, a new Target, a hotel, mixed-use small business and apartment complex down in the Loop. We've had a 49% decrease in violent crime in the city. A lot of groundbreakings and various problems and various ceremonial things. We still have problems. I don't want to whitewash this. But it really has been in some ways rather extraordinary I have to personally say, concerning the council, I'm really glad that I am on this council and not some others, where you have people, you know, who are voting on things that, like, do things like don't read newspapers, and, you know, and that are crazy and far right, because I feel fortunate that I'm with people I not only admire, but people I like. Terry pointed out an interesting thing at the end of the thing when he said that the problems we have will come not internally, but externally. Because there's a wide, I mean, it's not to say we don't have problems, there's a wide and general peace in our community, you know, that is, that, and we are, I think, a beacon, frankly, of a kind of sanity that is a little unusual these days, and that we are a beacon of sanity in a group that is heterogeneous, that has all kinds of people, and yet we have a building boom. We have economic success. We have, you know, problems, but yet we work out those problems regardless of whether somebody's black, white, gay, straight, LGBTQ+, whatever, you know. We don't.
You know, that's worth advertising.
I'm writing an essay.
In this insane world we live in.
Yeah, I'm writing an essay on this, and I'll close on this note because I kind of gotta go. Y'all know Judy Prangy, right? Euclidean Bloom gal. So one time I was over at her house and I was saying, you know what people want out of government right now? They want it to be boring. You know, they want it to be, you know, you're fighting over the subtext of the farm bill. And she said to me, you know, that's what you should do, run on that ticket, vote team, and make government boring again. And she's right, actually. You know, I mean, what people want is normality. And that's what I think, I didn't say this really, but I wrote an essay in which I talked about commissions. And I thought, you guys are my hope.
Too much pressure.
You know, no pressure, yeah.
Too much pressure.
But, you know, you do the normal things of government.
That's a great update.
Thank you. I am going to, if you don't mind, excuse myself, because you hear my other meeting gathering, you know? And I think the old saying was about rest for the wicked and not getting any.
Well, we have lost our quorum. Content for Wars is due April 1st. I cannot imagine us coming up with anything in time for that.
I don't think so.
Great.
We can shoot for the next one.
Okay. So
which I think will be July 1st.
God love
1st.
You all. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
And this is, I mean, the Wars thing is just a couple paragraphs, right? Or is it a page? I can't remember.
What Tim did last time was he wrote, like, it was like maybe two pages of content, and then we had a blurb that went into Roars.
Oh, okay, and then it, like, linked.
And it linked online to the full article. Another thing we could do, we don't have to decide now, because we clearly won't meet the April 1st deadline, but, you know, we could just, like, pull information that's online and create a blurb and a link to that specific information that's already there.
Like to our website.
Yeah, to the website. Just to like help build awareness about what's on the website.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'll hopefully write some things this summer, this semester. Nice.
No tiny forest update from anyone, right?
Connie's not. Yeah, Connie and I talked yesterday, so I have some ideas of what the latest is, but I probably save it for the next meeting.
The spring 2025 electronics recycling event is Saturday, May 10th at Human Park Community Center.
Yes.
I was gonna say, I've already volunteered for that. I'm wondering if there are enough volunteers or if we need to scrounge up people.
More volunteers are always helpful. I don't have a list jotted down of who had volunteered, so maybe I'll send out an email to everyone, see who's available. The commission, I mean. I'm going to be out of town for that one, So I'm working with like Public Works and Parks to find some other staff who could staff that event,
yeah.
In addition to volunteers.
Yeah.
And I would get them all ready for it, and like they would know what the rundown would be. But yes, I'll see who from the commission is available, and but you, that would be awesome if you have anyone in mind who would be willing.
I don't know nine people.
When I've talked to several high school parents,
mm-hmm.
And whoever's in charge of giving the high school students the required volunteer hours apparently has done a not good job this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's parents that are now sort of, do you have anything for my son to do? Because he needs volunteer hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see if I can track down whoever's organizing this.
Okay.
Because it was actually Adam's wife who asked if I could, like at the trivia night, it's like, hey, can I send my son over to help you out? And I was like, no, we're slinging beer and stuff. I don't really want liners around. Apparently the freshman basketball team came to help, but not sell the beers, but still. I should have just been like, hey, tell your son to come down. Anyways, there's an opportunity there. There's high school students that need volunteer hours, and we have volunteer hours to give. So,
offer the basketball team beer, they'll probably come in droves.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think everybody in the high school needs volunteer hours. I don't know if it's just like National Honor Society or something. I don't know what it is. But
mm-hmm.
There may be a possibility to exploit the youth, which is what we should be doing. Yeah. Let's exploit the youth.
The Fall 2025 Shredding event, Sunday, September 7th at Human Park Community Center. Still pretty far out. Great that we got that nailed down. We did our council liaison update. For the closing round, personally, I'm going to add that any conversation around that 15% increase that John was talking about, I'll be recusing myself from any conversation or vote or action in any way surrounding that. On the record, as an Ameren employee, anybody have anything else for closing round?
Motion to, can we do that without quorum?
I think so.
I mean, we just have to
just be sitting here until the next meeting.
Yeah.